Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Ragga-influenced jungle bass wobble in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're learning how to distort it creatively with macro controls, so it feels alive, rude, and ready for a DNB drop. The big idea here is simple. We're not just making a bass sound nastier. We are turning one bass patch into something that can growl, wobble, bark, and shift character across a full 16-bar section, while still keeping the sub solid and powerful. That's a really important drum and bass mindset. In this style, the bass line is often the emotional center of the track. The movement doesn't have to come from a super complicated synth patch. A lot of the power comes from automation, distortion, filtering, resampling, and arrangement. So today, we're going to use those tools in a smart, musical way. Let's start with the source sound. Open a new MIDI track and load Operator. If you're brand new, Operator is a great choice because it's clean, direct, and very good for sub-heavy bass work. Set it to a sine wave or a very simple wave shape. Keep it mono, and add a short glide or portamento somewhere around 40 to 80 milliseconds. That glide helps the bass feel more fluid and a little bit more human. Now write a very simple MIDI pattern in the low register, around C1 to G1. Don't overplay it. Jungle bass works really well when there's space between the notes. Try a call and response idea, maybe two short notes in bar 1, one longer note in bar 2, a bit of silence in bar 3, and then a repeat with a small variation in bar 4. That push and pull with the drums is a huge part of the groove. And here's a teacher tip. If your bass feels weak, the answer is not always add more notes. Sometimes the answer is leave more room. Now we're going to split this into two layers, because that's how you keep the low end tight while still getting that dirty mid-range character. Group the instrument into an instrument rack. Then create two chains. One chain will be the sub, and the other will be the mid or wobble layer. On the sub chain, keep it clean. Use Operator with a sine wave, keep it mono, and avoid heavy distortion. You can gently low pass it if needed, but the main thing is to keep this layer boring in the best possible way. The sub should feel almost unchanged while everything else moves around it. On the mid chain, create or duplicate a second bass voice with more bite. You can use a saw, square, or brighter synth tone. This is where the movement and character live. This layer can be a little wider, a little dirtier, and much more expressive. That split is really important for drum and bass. If you distort the sub too much, you lose the weight that makes the drop hit hard. So keep the bottom stable, and let the mids do the talking. Now let's add the distortion chain. Put an audio effect rack after the instrument, or directly on the mid-bass chain if you want to keep it more focused. Inside that rack, add saturator, overdrive, redux if you want a bit of extra edge, and EQ8 for cleanup. You can also use utility if you need to control width or check mono compatibility. A good starting point is about 3 to 8 dB of saturator drive, a moderate overdrive tone, and only a subtle amount of redux. You want roughness, not total destruction. Then use EQ8 to high-pass the distorted layer somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so the sub stays clean. That way, the dirty character sits above the low end instead of fighting it. Now for the fun part, macro controls. This is where the patch becomes playable and musical. Instead of reaching into every device separately, we're going to map the most important things to macro so we can shape the bass in real time. A strong beginner setup would be macro 1 for wobble amount, macro 2 for dirt, macro 3 for bite, macro 4 for width, macro 5 for sub blend, macro 6 for movement rate. If you're using auto filter, map the filter frequency to wobble amount and resonance to another macro, maybe bite or dirt depending on what feels more useful. The point is to make each macro do something meaningful. And here's an important coaching note. Think in performance zones. A good macro should have a useful subtle range, a strong middle range, and an extreme range. Don't make the first half of the knob do nothing, then have all the action happen at the very end. You want the knob to feel musical all the way through. For example, your wobble macro might move the filter from around 120 Hz up to around 1.2 kHz on the mid layer. Your width macro can keep the sub at zero width, while opening the mid layer up to 120 or 140%. That gives you movement without weakening the center. Now let's create the wobble motion. For a beginner-friendly setup, use auto filter on the mid-bass chain. Start with a low-pass 24 filter. Set the frequency somewhere around 180 to 300 Hz, with resonance around 20 to 30%. Then map frequency to your wobble macro and automate that macro in arrangement view. Try a few motion styles. A short up and down movement gives you a two-step wobble feel. A slower sweep gives you roller tension. A faster movement can make the bass feel like it's talking back to the breakbeat. That talking bass quality is very jungle, very ragga, and very effective when you want the bass to sound alive. If you want a quick test, try opening the filter from around 200 Hz to 700 Hz for short wobble, or from 120 Hz to 1.1 kHz for a heavier one. But use this carefully. In DNB, the bass should punch through the drums, not smear over everything. Now let's shape the distortion so it reacts musically. A really useful trick is to automate dirt across the arrangement. For example, keep it around 10 to 20% for an intro, rise to 35 to 45% in the build-up, push it to 60 to 75% for the drop, and briefly hit 80% for a switch-up before pulling it back. That contrast is what makes the drop feel bigger. Clean to dirty, restrained to rude, filtered to open. That's a classic underground DNB move. After the distortion, use a QA to clean up the edges. If the bass gets too sharp, reduce some harshness around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If there is unnecessary rumble below 25 to 30 Hz, cut that too. And if the sound gets boxy, trim a little around 250 to 400 Hz. Distort first, then clean. That's a very normal drum and bass workflow. Now let's use automation to make the bass part of the arrangement instead of a loop that just sits there. Imagine a 16-bar drop. Bars 1 to 4 are filtered and restrained. Bars 5 to 8 open up the wobble and add more dirt. Bars 9 to 12 pull back down for a sub-threat moment. Then bars 13 to 16 hit a switch-up with extra distortion or a different filter position. That's what gives the section shape and energy. And if your drums are running a chopped amen break with ragga vocal chops, this call-and-response approach gets even better. Let the bass answer the vocal or the drum fill, then leave a little space. That space is part of the groove. Once the patch feels good, resample it. This is a very smart move in drum and bass, because it turns your MIDI performance into audio you can edit like a drum break. Resample the best moments to a new audio track, then slice out a one-bar or two-bar loop. You can consolidate strong hits, add reverse stabs, create stutters, or chop a transition moment into a new fill. This is especially useful when you want the bass to feel like a response to the drums or the vocal, not just a repeating synth part. Now check the balance. Keep the sub-chain mono. Use utility if the mid layer gets too wide. Make sure the kick and sub aren't fighting in the same range. If needed, add light sidechain compression with compressor or glue compressor so the kick can punch through cleanly. You usually only need a few dB of reduction. Don't crush the whole bass sound. And always check the rack at low volume. That's a great test. If the distortion still reads clearly when the monitors are turned down, the mid-range character is probably in a good place. Before we wrap up, save the rack as a preset. Give it a clear name, something like Jungle Ragga Wobble Rack or DNB Distort Macro Bass. Save a clean version and a dirtier version if you can. That way, you can reuse this idea in rollers, jungle revival tracks, darker halftime sections, and ragga DNB drops without starting from scratch. Let's quickly recap the core workflow. Build the bass in layers. Keep the sub clean and mono. Put the distortion on the mid layer. Map the important controls to macros. Use one macro to move multiple devices if needed. Automate the rack across the arrangement. Resample your best moments. Clean up the lows and harsh highs with EQ. And always make sure the bass is working with the drums, not against them. If you can make one bass rack move from a clean ragga pulse to a distorted jungle wobble without losing low-end weight, you're already thinking like a real DNB producer. For practice, spend 15 minutes building a two-chain bass rack. Map wobble, dirt, and sub blend to three macros. Program a four-bar phrase with some space. Automate the wobble on bars 2 and 4, and push the dirt only near the end of bar 4. Then add a drum loop or amen break and listen carefully for clashes. Resample one bar, chop it, and try a reverse hit or stutter before the repeat. That's the sound. Clean, rude, controlled, and ready to smash a jungle drop.